Welcome to We Are Here Too, a podcast about mental health and life abroad. My name is Francesca. I'm an Italian counsellor living in Scotland. Every week, we will have a closer look at the ebbs and flows of life abroad. So let's delve into it. In stereotypical British style, I actually want to talk about the weather for a second because things are going a bit funny here in Scotland. We got a second winter after the first one, and it's April, and now it's super warm. Like, what's happening? I mean, I know the answer, okay? I know it's climate change. Still. Also, this is what happens when you leave in a country for too long and you start basically like behaving or having some personality traits like the people from your host country. And I swear, I talk about the weather quite a lot. And how can you not talk about the weather so much? Are there like any things that you absorbed from your hosting country that you would like to share with me? I'd love to hear about it. Anyway, today's episode is about the hard truths of life abroad. I think it was about time that I made an episode about this. But fear not, it's not going to be all about doom and gloom. There is hope, as I hope there is hope in every episode that I produce, but also like in life in general. Like, I'm a very hopeful person. So just stay tuned and I hope you're going to enjoy what I have to say today. Hard truth number one, you're always going to be an immigrant. I'm sorry to breach it this way to you, and I know it's not easy for a very long time. I just hoped I could be one of them. Right, like we explored it in other episodes, like this need for belonging is so strong that we need to recreate it when we move abroad. But the truth is, you're always going to be different. Like, you know, like for you to be fully absorbed in your host country, you know, you need to annihilate. That's it. That's as simple. And still, you're not going to be one of them. And I'm going to tell you why. For example, depending on the country you're moving to, you're going to have more or less rights than the local population. In some countries, they will give you access to more resources. In some other countries, it's going to give you less access. That said, access to resources, access to legal protection, safeguarding, they're not the same. Think about the very first time that you move to a country, you do not know the work market, the job market, you do not know the housing sector, you do not know how to go by, you know, public transports. There are so many things that you do not know because you didn't grow up there, but also because you do not have the resources as yet, right? Like, and although if you build up your resources portfolio, let's call it that way, and you settled quite significantly in the new country, but you're not them. Even when your accent is like theirs, you are missing the very essence of being born in that country or moving to that country when you were very, very tiny. Like, all of those cultural subtleties, you just miss them. But in the same way as, I don't know, like I'm from Milan, so I will miss all the cultural subtleties of Milan for people who were born like in the year 2000 or even 2010, right? Like, what is that? I don't know what it means to be a teenager in 2024. In the same way, I don't know what it means to be a teenager in Glasgow in the year 2000, right? Like, this I will never know, as you will never know. So what do you need to find peace with this hard truth? What it is that you need? We are oftentimes so much engulfed in the new reality and so much struggling for belonging, to feeling a sense of community, to feel like that we are not alone, that we just forget that we are really giving away parts of ourselves.
Then maybe we like cherished deer up to that point. I don't know. But like something is slipping through our fingers for the sake of belonging. And we don't know what it is. But again, where it is that you really want to belong. Like the moment I personally like realize I don't need to belong in the host country. I just need to find a group of people who share the same interests as me. That's okay. And I stopped caring about my accent. I stopped caring about all like my mistakes when I talk, or the typos I make when I write, or the fact that, yes, like even my mom who follows me on social media, she was like, whoa, Francesca, you really gesticulate a lot. And I was like, fine, like even my Italian mother is saying that I'm gesticulating a lot, which if you heard the previous episode, you would know that actually that like was quite subdued for a very long time. And now clearly I'm in my like find your roots moment, and I'm possibly overdoing it. I have no idea. But you hear this, like find peace within you that actually, you know, the end game is belonging. It's not belonging to the host society. It's just belonging. Find your people. Okay, that's what matters the most. Find a community that doesn't ask you to shrink, to mold, to fix some of yours, like personality trait. Find your way. Okay, that matters more than anything else. And with this, let's move to hard truth number two. Have you ever heard of the expat adjustment cycle? Basically, it's a theory that summarized the life of a person who moved abroad in different stages, a bit like the stages of grief. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of that. If not, forget about it. Let's go back to the expat adjustment cycle. Basically, the idea behind it is that like there are certain stages that we all go through as life abroad. This is the summary. Stage number one is preparation. So you're getting ready for your life abroad. Stage number two is honeymoon stage. So you are basically all in love and cuddled up and everything is beautiful. I love my life. Okay. Stage number three is culture shock. And episode two of season one is all about culture shock. So you can refer back to that if you fancy. And then you have adaptation. In other terms, there is a time where everything feels fine, then there is a crisis, and then there is like a recovery, which can end up in either adjusting to the new place or leaving. These stages are not linear, but they can happen different times in different ways. So, for example, if your support network shrinks, maybe that can trigger feelings of resentment towards the hosting country. You maybe spend more time back home and then you are considering about leaving, and then the moment that your support emotional network expands, you find settling in your hosting country like easier again. Maybe go through like the honeymoon phase again. So that's basically the hard truth. This is life. And life is going to happen regardless. As someone who lives abroad, I wish I didn't have to go through certain things over and over again. But I cannot stop it. That's the force of it. That's the movement that it does. And I cannot just ask for life to stop, for my life abroad to stop, so I freeze in the honeymoon phase. Right? Impossible. That's what it does. And it moves. But what we can do is to decide its direction. We have so much power that at times it feels like impossible to believe. We don't have to stay in the culture shock stage. We don't have to. We can put things in place to actually move ourselves like outside of that stage. We can decide whether we want to stay or we want to go. Yeah, of course, it's incredibly difficult to decide whether we want to move on from a country. Like, all the times that I considered that, I felt it like such an overwhelming experience because there is so much to consider. You know, 12 years in Scotland, it's not, you know, a one-day decision that would make me feel like, oh, yeah, yeah, please go. Choose a warmer country, for example. It's very much alive, the thought in my head in this moment. But, like, you know, I have a job here, you know, like I have established relationships here that I do not want to necessarily part with at the moment. And I know that it's not easy, but I know I also have a choice. Like I can decide to actually move away in the same way that I decided when I was so much younger and I was like 20 to move out of Italy. It's possible. Sometimes we just forget because we are so overwhelmed and flooded with our problems that very much intersect our life abroad, that we lose agency within that. And in that respect, there is an episode of the podcast about agency, which is episode 12 of season 1, Tapping Into Your Own Power, if you're interested in exploring this theme a bit further. Hard truth number 3, no one will congratulate you forever for making the step of moving abroad. For all my 20s, I lived with the feeling of like, well done, Francesca, you did well, life abroad, like, great, you're doing so well for yourself, it must be exciting. And people were really excited, because I was changing countries so often. I would be excited to hear someone doing that, right? But then when I moved to Scotland, because I've been here for so long, people just stopped doing that. They normalize it. You normalize your life abroad as well, because when you stay stable in one country, you get into like a routine that it's very much life. It doesn't feel like, oh, I'm abroad. It becomes your life. That element, in a way, disappears. Although there are so many instances that can remind you that actually you're a foreigner. But in general, with your routine, most likely you're feeling a bit more settled. You maybe stop feeling special, and that hurts, and that can as well like burst a wee of a bubble that allowed you to stay in the honeymoon phase that we were talking about earlier, and triggers you and makes you like feel a bit itchy about where you're at. But people are not always going to be there to congratulate you and to elevate you, and that's just part of life. And I think I can add here a subcategory of this hard truth, which is you will always encounter people who are going to comment on the fact that you had it easy or easier by moving abroad. I'm just leaving it for a second because this very comment inflamed me so many times. And I just want to give you like a bit of space so you can regroup. But that said, there are ways in which we can respond to people. Specifically about this, but more generically about like the comments people make about our life abroad. And these comments are maybe comments that are not necessarily matching anymore with all of this like enthusiasm that people showed possibly in the first instance when you told them like, I'm going away. So if on one side we can prepare for the eventuality that these people we cross our paths, or most likely they're just family members, as it happens in the majority of the cases, I just would like to invite you to think of this a bit more deeply and maybe thinking about what it is that bothers you so much about this specific question. I know why it was bothering me. And I think I represent many people when I say this, but creating a life abroad from zero is difficult. Right, like when you go to a new country and you also have to find accommodation, opening a bank account, finding a job, finding friends, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. I did it many times. And my only advantage in Scotland is that I knew one person, like I had a friend, and she was incredibly supportive, and that made a huge difference in the way that I started my experience in Scotland. But everything else was quite hard. It was really, really hard. And when people were making those comments, I felt like so much tension and wanted to close up because I was like, I'm already struggling. You know, do not aggravate a situation that I'm already struggling, coming to terms with. The times that that question hurt me the most were the times when I was really questioning why I was in the country. I was really missing home. I found no security in anything. Other times, like, I had a very unstable job. I didn't have had yet like a formed support network. I was really struggling to be understood, like on a language level. Like, people would not understand me whenever I was asking the bus driver to go a certain direction and, you know, double checking that I was on the right bus, especially at the beginning. The bus driver would just look at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I had to show on a map. Okay, so we're talking about those levels. And of course, I was missing home. Of course, I was not sure about my decision of being in that country. But in my head, in that moment, like, I was not necessarily translating it that way. Like, the idea that I was actually missing home and that I had options. As I said earlier, we always have had options. I thought it was not possible. I had to stay there. I was really struggling. I was just like, you know, when people would make those comments inside myself, I was like, why are you even bothering me? Like, I'm struggling, just give me space so I can, you know, so I can actually breathe and try to find my way around this. So that was it that was going on for me. And so the question for you is exactly the same. What is going on for you that irritates you so heavily? Because then we answer this very question from a place of anger. I'm not going to dilute this. It's anger, guys. It's not like, oh, it'd be a frustration. It's anger. Okay. There is a lot at stake when we live abroad. And that's what it fuels. And so, you know, my answer, which, you know, whenever I give answers, just don't take them as like, that's it. But I would always go back to remembering my why. Why have I decided to move abroad? And are my sacrifices more than what I'm actually gaining? Is there like an end to this? Like, is it just temporarily? There is like a podcast episode on remembering your why in season 1, and it's episode 8, which I would recommend maybe to listen to that to feel a bit more nurtured. And also, like, the answer to this really is like healing, just getting to terms of where you're at in your life. And that can bring you so much like easefulness and peace of mind. And more than anything, just like a place where you can actually ground yourself and deal with everything that life is, you know, throwing at you. Because as I said in Heart Truth number 1, like, life is gonna happen regardless. Maybe it was not Heart Truth number 1, maybe it was number 2, but you get my point. Something that I shared at the beginning of the podcast. Heart Truth number 4 and our last one. Things may happen a bit later in life than your peers back home, than anyone else who never left their home country. So, for example, you would maybe start a bit later to save up for a house. You would start a bit later to have higher positions in a company because you change home and you had to start from zero. and maybe like you didn't have a lot of savings and you used all of your savings to make this big move to another country and to start your life there, and maybe you used up a bit of those savings just because you were looking for a job and, you know, payments came a bit later and you had to get your life back together and buying some of the things that you've always had and you don't have anymore because you moved abroad, you know. Delayed the time where you felt like I'm going to settle in relationship or intimate relationships because you moving around so often and not know where you're going to be for how long you're going to be really has a knock-off effect on the way that we relate to people. I won't open a box of Pandora on relationships, but that episode is coming. And you can always like listen to what I've shared before in a previous episode in season one about relationships when living abroad. But things happen and you move and it takes some time to get to know people, to know them intimately. And sometimes you see people moving on with their life and building these family units. And please know that when I talk about family units, I'm not necessarily talking about like traditional ways of relating. Okay, I'm thinking more in terms about like how long it takes to actually connect to people and create intimacy with people, whether we decide to go for more traditional partnerships, to consensual non-monogamy, to friendship. That family unit that we crave for needs time to happen. And it's important to find ways to cope with the sadness whilst we are building those connections that can potentially become family unit. And with this, we are at the end of another episode of We Are Here Too. Thank you very much for listening, and I'd love if we could connect. You can find me on social media, on Instagram, and my page is all about connecting with the body through nature. Hopefully, it can give you some tips on how to reconnect to your body and find safety within. I'd love to know what you're thinking about the episode. You can always connect to me, and I'm looking forward to the next episode. Bye!